Thank you.
Giving us an update on primary financial statements. Floor is yours, Anita.
Thank you, Martin, and good morning still, everyone. Good to see you again. And I want to start by thanking you for input you gave us in June meeting when we discussed at length the illustrative examples we are proposing to include in the exposure draft to go package of the for the primary financial statements project. I just want to mention a couple of things of how we use this feedback you've given us. So I think in the discussions in June, you made some specific suggestions for some line items we had in the examples that you thought, oh, you know, we would never see this level in practice. And we have actually taken those out of the examples. I think one big comment I recall was discussion about, so if you recall, one of the project proposals is to require no disclosure about unusual items. And then we have a proposal to have a note disclosure about management-defined performance measures, which we call the MPMs. And the feedback you have given us is that you see lots of overlap between these two and that we should try to combine them. And we did try to combine them. However, we were not successful. So we produced combined disclosure. We discussed it, or it wasn't a board meeting, but we showed it to the board in our review process, and the feedback was just that the note looked too messy, too complicated, so we just went back to having two separate notes. Of course, this is not to say how it would look in the final, so I think once the exposure draft is out, let's take another look at that, and if you maybe can come up with better suggestions of how this could be done, we can consider that for the final note. So that is about June. And, I mean, the purpose of today's session is really just to have a little bit of discussion and maybe last opportunity to answer any questions. We don't have a specific questions for you because where we are as a team is in drafting stage, so we are working hard to get the exposure draft ready for publication. We are targeting 19th of December. I keep saying this in public meetings to try to get myself to keep to this deadline. And, you know, we are really not going to the board developing any proposals per se, but it is really all focused on making the board's decisions as clear as possible in this exposure draft. So as a background, I've just included here overview of the project, but I was not going to go through this in detail and really have opportunity for you to discuss or ask any questions that you want to ask.
I would, my first question would be on slide 9. If anyone has anything before slide 9, then I'm happy to do it in the order of the slides.
Ian, are you before slide 9?
I am before slide 9.
You see?
Just, I'm on slide 8. Not necessarily discussion, just rather a word of caution on operating profit. I would be very cautious about describing that as residual. Mm. And I'll tell you for why. Is what happens in IS7 is the same thing happens on operating cash flows. And there are, in different reg countries, you get different auditors, and they basically use IS7 as a checklist. And if you have you've got an item that doesn't specifically tick exactly what's in that, it gets dumped into operating cash flows. And the fact that you can, it seems very much like it, doesn't cut it with some kind of, for the Japanese people, this was our Japanese affiliate, and it was one of the big four in Japan. And despite numerous arguments, I couldn't win it, so we left it. I very strongly welcome that you're taking the nettle to define operating profit, but I would encourage that you define it positively as something rather than leave it as a residual. Otherwise, you will have people just going through the standard, and if it doesn't tick the box very narrowly on what you define as investing and financing, it will get dumped into operating. That will happen. So I would just encourage, think about what you want people to do. If you want preparers and auditors to actually apply judgment, say, okay, this one's not specifically on the list, we're going to apply a bit of judgment, and we think it's operating, or we think it's investing, we think it's... You should leave them the room to do that. If you leave this as a residual, I can tell you from the way that IS7 is currently applied, what I've described is what will happen in a lot of cases.
I hear you, Ian, and I think this is probably something that we should discuss as well during the consultation period, because I think you're right to say that the way the board has defined it is effectively as a residual. So what the slides represent and the communications we have, you will see in the exposure draft, is very much focused on explaining the objective of operating profit is to capture all income and expenses from main business activities. And the board thinks this objective is achieved by very specifically narrowly defining discontinued and income taxes. That's already today, no change. Plus investing and financing, and saying by default, if it is not one of these things, it has to be operating, because what other activity company does? It invests in finance, and then, you know, the rest is operating. So I think the definition per se, how you work it as a residual, but the objective is, as you said, the principle is we think by applying residual definition, you actually end up with a meaningful operating profit that reflects your main business activities. I think you're right to say it would capture other things that don't meet definition of investing or financing, but they are, if they're not investing or financing, they are part of your operating. They might not be your main business.
That's not my point. I think the point is, if you try and define investing and financing by a checklist approach, that is what you will get. And I think you should allow preparers and auditors to actually use their judgment about what investing and financing are, rather than having a checklist approach.
So maybe when you see the drafting, we can discuss.
That's what people will do. I think your basic point, I agree with. If, you know, if it's not clearly investing or financing, then it probably is your main business.
Yeah.
But then if you attempt to checklist investing and financing like IS7 does, then what you get is a dump of even stuff that, you know, everybody looks and says, yeah, we think that probably is investing, but hey, it's not on the list, so bang.
Let's revisit that, as I said, when we have the draft and the words, and then you can say, well, I read these words as a more of a checklist, or I read as a principle, and then we can test that when we have.
Thanks, Ian. Sandra, is it before slide 9? Or? Sandra, is it before slide 9, your comment?
Sandy?
Yes, mine is 8.
Okay.
it's to the term residual, and then in general questioning, do you really need a separate subtotal for operating profit? It just seems like your integral JVs should be part of operating profit. And then correspondingly, when you look at your statement of cash flows, the cash flows from your integral activities, I think, should be operating cash flows. The distinction and the segregation and different treatment, I just don't think gives you the right answer.
And you know, I recognize that. And again, you will see in the document, I think, the basis for the board's decision was really a balancing act between users demanding what they call a clean operating profit subtotal, no finance costs, no interest, no income tax, and with equity method you get all of these. So by having operating profit before any equity method, we give users what they ask for, but then by having operating profit plus share of integral, we give you what you ask for. So this is the kind of the way it's packaged in the document. But again, when the exposure draft is out, you know, we will have a lengthy discussion about this to kind of weigh the pros and cons. I just like to say that users also, you know, operating profit and share of profit subtotal, you know, the feedback so far has been really, I don't know what to do with this number, because it mixes apples and oranges. And, you know, part of the problem is obviously equity method accounting in itself. But, you know, they would say, okay, I think seeing what companies see as integral and what is not integral is useful information. So they kind of supported the split. But then they say, when you give me this subtotal, I don't know, I wouldn't use it, because I just can't use it as it is. But again, you know, let's have a discussion in the exposure period.
I guess a follow-on to your question, the terminology integral operations, I don't know how the definition is being developed, and I would hope you'd have enough flexibility for companies, but also a little bit of guidance, perhaps if it's stewarded within the business lines, that could be a good indication of it being integral, or if it's stewarded by headquarters type of entity, it's a good indication it's probably not integral. But I don't know what level of detail or guidance you've developed on to help companies.
Yeah, there's a few indicators you will see in this closure draft, and I'll be very interested in your feedback on that, because we had varying feedback so far when we were discussing with the board. Some felt it doesn't really help, anything could be integral. So there are a couple of indicators at least there with aim to help with this assessment. So again, when we have the words in front of us next time, let's focus on that and see whether that works.
I just have a comment on the operating profit. When you say the operating profit relates to main business activities, the group I represent, we have in the portfolio of investment 50% subsidiaries and 50% JVs and associates. I believe it is wrong to say that the operating profit or the result from JVs and associates are not relating to the main business activity. Mm. So if your focus is to provide the reader to work out what is the operating profit margin, I can agree that you can exclude associates and JVs because you are not presenting the revenue from those entities. But considering that, but saying that this JVs and associates operating profit is not part of main business activity is something which is not right, I believe.
That's an interesting point. Let me see if I can do something in drafting. Might not be successful, but let them bring it up again. I hear what you're saying.
Excuse me. Have you ever heard the notion of digital service tax, which is not income tax, but mm-hmm. it is largely, you know, affecting, you know, all tech companies these days. Mm-hmm. This is assessed based on the sales, global sales, something like that. But should we treat those tax like a digital service tax as a part of income tax, or that should go to, I don't know, above the line?
Martin, did this come to IFRIC? It seems familiar discussion. No.
I think we cannot clarify that here. I mean, I think it has to. And I think based on the proposal, I think it is not that we can bring in, not a topic of this specific.
At this moment.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this project is really saying if IAS 12 income tax, it's separate. If it's not, then you apply classification. But then, yes, these questions need to be answered. But they need to be answered anyway, regardless of this project. Yeah.
Okay.
No, Christoph.
Now that the comments came up, I even start on page 8, following up to what Srinath said. Do you use the terms integral and main as synonyms in the paper? If yes, why have two terms, not only one? If no, I think it's important to describe what the difference is between main business activities and integral part of business activities. Because if it's the same, that may address yours, integral and main. Yeah. So the only that if you think they mean something different, say so. If not, I would encourage to not use two terms for the same thing, which will later result into translation issues in countries that don't have these slight differences in wording. So. Currently, it is obviously used as different things. You say operating profit main and integral for the joint ventures, but if there is a difference, I think it needs to be explained what the difference supposed to be. On slide 9, you explicitly mentioned the unwinding of discount on pensions and provisions mm-hmm. to be classified as financing. I like that to spell out some examples to stimulate debate on where they should be. I would encourage you to add leasing and significant financing components from IFRS 15 to stimulate discussions on these two, whether they should be financing or operating. And I think if it's explicitly mentioned in the paper, regardless of where you put it, you stimulate a debate on where it is. But people think it should be. My next one would actually be on another one that I would explicitly call out to stimulate the debate is currencies. You know my topic of currencies, and particularly currencies on intercompany transactions, difficult to say whether they're financing or investing. On slide 10, I wondered that you have impairment of property, plant and equipment as a separate line, but not impairment of intangibles as a separate line. Is that on purpose?
It's. I mean, this is just the illustrative example, and it's just
not a template. It is an example.
Well, if you go through amortization, depends depreciation, and then impairment, but impairment on only on property, plant, and equipment.
Yeah.
So people would ask why.
Because in this example, this entity doesn't have an impairment on.
I mean, this is always a trouble with examples.
But it's the header of the example is introducing required and defined subtotals, which sounds a bit more than an example.
These are line items, and so only thing that's required is the three grey things, and this is always a challenge with examples, and maybe it's a good time to mention that we are cutting back a little bit in of examples we're going to include in the exposure draft, exactly for the type of issues Christoph mentioned here, because the main idea of the examples of the P&L was to illustrate classifications between operating, investing, and financing. And as we discussed before, these classifications differ depending on whether you're a general corporate or a bank. Say your interest expense will go in different categories, so we need to show those permutations. But we had very many that ended up showing, different types of industries that would have same permutation. So we had insurer, we had bank, we had bank insurer, we had conglomerate with financing, and it very much started looking like a template. And this is exactly what the board decided to not do. So we are cutting that back a little bit, but still, hopefully there'll be the idea is still to give sufficient examples to demonstrate the boards how the proposals are meant to apply. And thank you so much, Christoph, on these other two points. I think they're really helpful. Did you want me to respond to that, or is it just a note?
No, it's just for me. What we need to avoid is that people don't think of this when responding to the exposure draft, and then later are found by surprise that these items end up where they didn't expect them to end up. That's why if it is explicit in the exposure draft, the current idea is to put them there. You stimulate the idea to hope that people jump onto the topic without it being highlighted in the exposure draft. That may be a risky approach, and people may not see it, and it later ends up with IFRIC and other things, and if you can avoid that, I think it would be helpful.
Sure. I think some of them we have already in the draft. Some of them I will think about and see how we can address.
Okay, Stephen?
Just reflecting on what Ian said about the lack of a positive definition around operating and positive guidance. So that just makes me a little bit nervous. And the reason that I'm thinking that way is that because this is primarily driven by user feedback. And if I think back to the whole area of leases and IFRS 16, that the user feedback right at the beginning was very much, well, leases, we consider them to be investing activities. Financing activities. And IFRS 16 went down the route that it did. And then the experience was that the user feedback that a number of industries received was, oh, yeah, but we're unhappy with operating cash flow changing for IFRS 16. So therefore, actually, what we want you to do is to show it with the financing element added back in to get it back to a pre-IFRS 16 number. So I'm just a bit nervous about if we're taking the user feedback to drive the distinction between these different categories, that we make sure that we don't leave things too open. But a different interpretation further down the line, when maybe there's a catch up on what actually the impact would be.
And thank you. I think this is in a way similar, I think, to what the point Christoph made and Lisa's were mentioned twice. So I feel I need to say that we have explicit sentence in application guidance saying that leases meet definition of financing activities and therefore would be in this middle bullet on slide 9, so they would be definitely in the financing, obviously not all of it, but the finance cost part of that. And I think just on the operating cash flows, that's an interesting point. And we did hear users saying that, but I think this is the users, we had kind of two schools of thoughts here on the statement of cash flows, and we had to go, the board had to go with one, which is we in the statement of cash flows, we address classification of interest and dividends only, so there wasn't complete overhaul. And objective or the purpose of that was with the objective of aligning it with P&L. Mm-hmm. And this is one school of thought. But the other school of thought, which maybe your user is in, is that actually the cash flows, all the cash flows that arise from income and expenses that are in P&L, should be in the operating cash flows in statement of cash flows, regardless of the section of the P&L, whether it's operating, investing, or financing, because they for them that's all operating, and then the other sections of the statement of cash flows, they just want to see their capex and the loans taking part. And we have this explained in the basis. This is not what the board is proposing now, but you know, there is a way maybe to reconcile those things. But I take the point to be as clear as possible in what was intended so that we can get as good feedback. I think that's the main point.
Yeah, the purpose of mentioning IFRS 16 was just to illustrate the concern that I've got. I appreciate there's unique circumstances around 16. But I think sometimes it's useful to make sure that the debate goes all the way through to actually what is going to come out to the other side, to make sure that users then say, that is what I expect to see, because in our experience, and we were told, well, everybody in the industry, you know, is taking it back to a pre-IFRS 16 position on operating cash.
Really?
You know, it's not just a particular user. This is now the norm.
Really?
And therefore, we've got to a point of divergence then.
I'm looking at Catherine over there.
Yes.
Is it all on operating, or is it more in a free cash flow measure?
It sees its way through into a free cash flow measure. Yeah. APM.
Yeah.
But obviously the board is concerned about the use of APMs, and therefore it has read across into that. I think also moving on to slide 10, I understand the point on that it's an example, not a template. It will be helpful to make sure that however this is built up, then we do have the ability to try and apply it to our own companies. And a template actually would be quite useful. I appreciate the reluctance, and I'm just saying it would be useful to us to try and understand how to apply it. In the absence of a template, then just make sure there's enough guidance around categorisation that would help us. If I look at that template if I look at this example and try and apply it to my situation, then I'm not quite sure what is included in consumables. There's a number of categories of costs that I've got at the moment which don't automatically fit anywhere. So I'm just encouraging you, in the absence of a template, to make sure that you're providing guidance and getting feedback, and you know, even in the privacy of the staff outreach, of making sure that there's real examples that you've looked at, even if they're not published.
Thank you.
Very briefly in this context, will the exposure draft talk on what changes this will result into for the taxonomy? For the XBRL taxonomy?
We have a section in the effects analysis that talks about effects on electronic reporting. And I think with taxonomy, we also had a separate discussion with ITCG, which is Taxonomy Consultative Group. I think it was June, and there will be a follow-up discussion because we didn't manage to cover it all. And there is still kind of debate as to approach with regards to MPMs, because I think there are different ways you can deal with it. So kind of the technical detail of how it will work hasn't been resolved yet, because we no longer have taxonomy exposure draft along with our exposure draft, so it's not fully worked out in detail, but there is some discussion and the work is ongoing as to, you know, analyzing how this would work. And I think I just want to highlight that one of the members of our team is kind of a shared with taxonomy team, so we have very much an eye on that and consider that.
Because the reason I'm saying it now, the flexibility that Stephen asked for, of course, won't be there if, for instance, all the line items that from this example made it into the taxonomy, then...
But they are not mandatory.
No, that's what I mean. If they made it into the taxonomy, then flexibility would be gone.
Not sure that would be the case, because you still don't have them to use them. They won't be like required elements. They are just there for you to use them if you have those line items.
Which then depends on the regulator, what the regulator would say.
Well, that's an interesting point. So
that's where the only to highlight that the flexibility on structure, template versus non-template, may be impacted by how detailed will the taxonomy reflect structures.
I'm wondering that you guys like templates.
Well, I think nobody said we do. Did you say you like templates?
Yeah.
Yes, I said templates will be helpful in understanding what the proposals are. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Liliana.
One final element, still on slide 10.
Mm-hmm.
Just to make sure that you cover IFRS 15 elements as well, so where the contract assets and liabilities go. And also a thought, this kind of format bears no resemblance to any internal reporting that we currently do, and to make sure that you fully explore what the practical impact would be of imposing a change in this area of key reporting, and how that ties in with the objectives of reflecting how management run the company and so on.
Mm. Yeah, and P&L is not meant to reflect how companies run. It's meant to give users comparable points for analysis, but I understand. Thank you.
Liliana?
Thank you. From the P&L standpoint, you are putting the income expenses from cash and cash equivalent as financing activity or financing part. Mm-hmm. It's the same for the slide 10 in the example provided by you. But when we go to the cash flow statement, you are putting that interest received is investing activity.
That's right. And I think so what I said earlier is a general approach the board had was to align between categories. But what the board took as a primary objective is let's not confuse users by splitting interest in different sections of the cash flows. So alignments between statements, number one, with not general alignment, but between for interest and dividends, but, you know, let's put it in one section of statement of cash flows. So with regards to interest, I think the prevailing view was like, well, most of the interest is probably going to be in the investing. And therefore, if we were to choose one, I mean, it could have gone either way, and for some companies, maybe not quite so if they don't have many financial instruments other than cash. But if you did, so the board said, okay, on that basis, let's put it all investing, because they wanted, users said, we want to know where it is, and we want interest like it is today. We want it in one section of statement of cash flow rather than, you know, kind of just follow it across, because the statements are not aligned anyway, and general kind of alignment was not something the board decided
but
to pursue.
But it will be not reflecting the real situation of a company. I put an example. The company that I represent is almost always in a debt position because it is investing, contributes.
Mm-hmm.
And the interest income that he can receive are relating to the short-term investment that they are putting in between the payment for the investment.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not doing an investing activity relating to investing money. I'm doing an investing activity in investing to my operating profit. So showing such an interest as dissociated for the financial cost.
And that was a problem because many entities had different views. It's more investing, it's more operating, but users were confused with it. And therefore, Board has undertaken this project to make it comparable all at the same place.
Comparable, but not...
Okay, telling the story of the company, it is not the purpose of this kind of make it more comparable.
Yes, but making comparable for things that are not right. We are comparing things that are not right, okay.
I don't know if it's not right, because I think it is a kind of...
I'm saying that it's not right and explaining you why it's not right. I'm making short-term investment in order to wait for the payment of the technical investment or the operating investment that I'm building a big plant and I have payments, but the loan comes one shot. What I do with this money?
I hear what you're saying, Liliana, because I think what I understand you saying, okay, I understand why this is not operating profit, because it is, you know, it fits this description of investing that are separate, you know, cash flows are generated separately and independently. But when you look at the statement of cash flows, I think it's fair to say the objective of investing in the statement of cash flows is different, and it's meant to be kind of investing for your long term. And what you're saying is really this is not.
No, I'm saying that it's debt for the financial cost. I have a financial cost that is not a real, that is not very well explained. If I say that my financial cost was 4%, why it was so big, or why I paid 4% in the financial cost at such a time when we are building something. I was not paying in the year 4% in my example. Mm-hmm. I was paying far less because I put it in between. In cash, cash equivalent, the things. And more than this, I cannot understand the distinction between P&L and cash flow statement. Why in cash flow statement is investing and why in P&L is...
And as I said, the board took a view that interest should be in one place, statement of cash flows for simplicity for users. But... You know, I think it's something we once.
The board tried this cohesiveness project some years ago, and it was also not welcomed by many. We have it consistently between balance sheet, cash flow statement, and performance statement. I think that was not liked by many preparers because of it. And Aida said, okay, we thought, okay, it is more important to have it in one place, and because I think the focus is to make it comparable. Clearly, you can have different arguments why it is more close, but what it is. Natalie.
Could you please explain how to apply operating profit subtotals for the groups with different industries? In our example, it's a big bank with significant segment like construction and development, mm-hmm. completely different. They also have dividends and interest. Should we separate it somehow below operating profit or include above?
Okay. So I think, the slides I have for this session, they're quite summarized, but this is what we tried to illustrate on slide 11. Here, I don't know if you were here when we discussed this proposal in more detail with you, or maybe we've never done it with regards to bank. Apologies, I don't recall that. But basically what the proposal is that entities that have... that provide financing to customers, such as, you know, your example, if a bank is part of your business, you want to. So with the operating profit, what the board wants to achieve is to ensure what is main business activity gets captured. And I take your point, Srinath, about associate and joint ventures, putting that aside. So to make sure operating profit captures what is your main business. And if your main business or one of your main businesses is being a bank, then clearly, you know, net interest income is an important indicator of your operating performance, and therefore you need to pull up some of the interest expense into the operating. But the problem is, like you said, you have multiple activities, so you're not just a bank, so pulling all of the interest does not necessarily make sense. So what the proposal is to say, if you assess that main business activity is providing finance to customers, regardless of whether this is your only activity or you have several others, then you are required to pull up interest expense and income on cash and cash equivalents into the operating. Now, if you have other business activities, what the board is proposing to say, you can either pull up all of these items, or you can pull up items that relate to your financing to customers. And you might wonder why is a choice, especially the board is not a big fan of giving choices otherwise. But this is the feedback we have received, in particular from banks with different activities, is that, you know, money is money, and it's quite difficult to say when I manage my treasury, which part of the treasury is for funding financing to customers, funding customer loans, and which one is funding my construction business. Whereas if you are a car manufacturer that provides financing, often it's quite a separate entity and they may be able to have this information. So to make it less onerous in cases where it's quite hard to disentangle, companies can put everything up. But if you actually have information you can disentangle, then you just include your interest expense that relates to this banking side and put it in the operating, and then the rest of your interest expense remains in the financing category.
Yes, so it would become a policy choice.
Yes.
Already 5 minutes over time allocated for that, and man, all interesting, but I think it is not what has finalized the discussion on that. We are in the process of drafting the standard, so if it is helpful for us in this process, please limit your comments on that. Rest, maybe comment on the ED. Richard.
So I had two comments. I think you said this was an example. I assume there would be another example, equal or greater prominence, using expenses by function. That was the first comment. Second comment is a bit concerned about this wording of main business activities. Look at a company that has two segments. Second segment is 8 to 10% of revenue.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a danger that by referring to main business activity, that segment would then become move into investing?
It's a question of judgment. I mean, what the board has said is that having a separate segment is an indicator that it may be main business activity. We didn't say you are required to have separate segment to avoid counterintuitive outcome, but we just said it is an indicator, because if it is important enough for a segment, it's a good indicator that it might be main business activity, regardless of percentages.
Okay. Ian?
Briefly, on unusual items, slide 15, just an observation. I think if you make this too restrictive, nobody will do it. I'm not sure that's your intention. And maybe one thing to clarify about this non-recurring, you can and very often do have a situation where an event itself maybe happens only once every 10 or 20 years, mm-hmm. but the accounting effects can spread over several periods. So, for example, you could have a large litigation case. You might book a provision of 500. 6 months later, your lawyers come up with some new stuff. You increase it to 600. 2 years later, you settle some of it, you reduce it, and so on. It's one case, but the effects can spread over several periods. And I'm not clear from here, and I think when you publish, you should specify what exactly you mean. But if the event itself is only happening once every 3-5 years, you should understand that the accounting effects almost always don't happen
simultaneously.
You know, even something very discreet, you're not going to get it exactly right first time, even US tax reform. We gave it our best shot, and we had to do a true-up 6 months later because it was, you know, it was our best estimate, but that's something probably only happens once every 20 years. So I think you should understand and make it clear what you expect to be in here and what you expect not to be in here.
I think, Martin, you had exactly the same point when we had board discussion on this. I'm trying to make it clear in drafting, and you tell me if we've been successful when you see the document, and then we can work on it. I think the idea was that it is really, like you said, if it is a single event, just the fact it straddles over two periods shouldn't really, because that's more a form rather than the substance, that, you know, it shouldn't interfere with the application of it as being a, as unusual, if it is really unusual. But I, as I said, let's see when we have the words, where the words get us there.
I think the intention is more the number accounting-wise, because when, if you have, say, for example, you have every year you have 100 litigation expense. And then maybe you have an additional case where maybe in 1 year you have then 500, and you have, in your example, you have 50 in the next year, but the 50 in the next year is already in the 100. I would not expect that this 100 in the next year is a kind of unusual, because you have all the kind of years you have 100 litigation expense. But you have an exception in that 1 year if you have, it was increased from 100 to 500.
No, but you can have an extremely large one.
I agree. It's difficult to say what is the right thing here. And
I just think if you do, this reads so restrictively, I think we don't have anyone doing it.
Yeah. It's more kind of, yeah. Intention. Intention is differently because. So, Sandra first and then you, and then we will finalize and finish this.
A common theme for me that the. The requirement to present the income statement by nature if you meet certain criteria. If you decide to go ahead with that, I think that you'd need to give a lot of thought to the complexity of being able to change your systems to be able to come up with this, or even to come up with the information for the disclosure in the note. I don't think that it's necessarily the right answer, but it appears that you've gone that way in here. And then whenever you supplement a decision with incremental disclosures, it always seems to me that perhaps you couldn't get agreement on something and you're trying to supplement it, and then I think you got to go back and decide, is it really the right answer? I just don't think it's always the best response just to add disclosures if you can't reach agreement on a particular approach.
Okay, Nat.
I thought one of the objectives of this project is to come out with a common definition of operating profit. But what I can see is now we have two operating profits, one inclusive of integral JVs, another one excluding integral JVs. When you have an opportunity to define operating profit in this project, isn't it simple to broaden the scope of operating project to include integral JVs and have one definition rather than two operating profits?
And the problem was we could not find a definition of operating. That's why we have the discussion. We have defined investing, we have defined financing, and all this other stuff.
There's a point Sandra made earlier, I think. My response to that was that users were very clear that they wanted a subtotal without any equity method accounting because that kind of taints it in their view. It taints their margin calculations and all the things they want to do with operating profit subtotal. But then on the other hand, for preparers, it was important to show this close to operating profit, which is how we ended up with the proposal we have.
Okay.
Martin, we have another question.
Just a quick comment about the exposure draft. So as you mentioned, and that it's probably not going to contain a lot of examples.
I didn't say that. I said there will be fewer examples than originally prepared, but there will still be plenty of examples.
Okay. Because I see a lot of difficulties in understanding the proposals in the materials that have been presented so far.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to see an exposure draft with a lot of examples, a lot of illustration, because otherwise you'll probably get less comments than what you would be expecting to, because people will not be able to fully comprehend the proposals. Because the materials so far, they are good for a discussion, but they are not sufficient at all to fully understand what's going to be the consequence of the proposal. So I know it's challenging, it's just a concern that I'm expressing here.
I take your point, and I want to assure you that objective is to every significant proposal will be illustrated with example. The issue we had, we ended up having five examples for the same proposal, which then made it look like a template. But, you know, we are scaling that back. What we are not scaling is the idea to illustrate every proposal with some sort of example. And just to remind you, so exposure draft package would have standard, which is the requirements. We'll have illustrative examples. We'll have basis explaining why and what are the alternatives that were considered and why they were rejected. We also have effects analysis, which will have a line item, almost by line item in the statements, discussion of what effects would be. Of course, they will be quite different because some companies present operating today, some don't. You know, it's defined differently and so on, so there's lots of permutations there. But there will be lots of kind of documents trying to explain all of that because, like you said, it's a big exercise to just explain and have people understand what is this meant to be, what is it meant to look like.
We will try to find the right balance between showing examples how the principles should be applied. But as Aida said, if we go in too much into detail, say what is a kind of a bank with some investment activity and a manufacturing, then it looks like an industry-specific template. And that is also then risky, and therefore to find the right balance is a little bit tricky.
Only one comment.
Only one, but this really is the last.
No, maybe a suggestion, because when we were working with the management commentary, we were struggling for definition of the business model. Maybe we can tie such a definition of business model with the operating profit, because there is a relationship. It's only one comment.
There is. Okay. Thank you for all your comments. It was not asked any question, but we received a lot of comments, which is good.
Thank you very much.
Then we go to the next, accounting policy disclosure. Ladies with nice bottles.